Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldara, and today Mezechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Gimel, the ninth parak Misha Meis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, there was a shtar written by Shchemira, which stated, "B'chaim u'b'maves, I give you this gift in life and in death." Rav said it's considered a matna Shchemira because since he wrote b'maves, he's saying it should take effect after his death. The mention of b'chaim in the shtar was merely a simon ba'amud achay, an omen that he should live, meaning since he mentioned his impending death, he added a hopeful mention of living. Shmuel says it's considered a matnas bari because since he wrote b'chaim, m'chaim kamar, he's saying it should take effect during his lifetime. The mention of b'maves was k'manda amr ma'atavi adulam, like one saying the gift should be yours from now and forever, meaning even after he dies. Those of Naradov rule like Rav. Rav has said that if the shtar states m'chaim from life and in death, it acquires like an ordinary gift, but a Maimar says the halacha does not follow Rava. Although we pass like Rav, one could have thought Rav agrees with the term m'chaim takes effect from his lifetime. A Maimar teaches otherwise. Point number two, a gift document stated that he gave it when he was sick and lying in bed, meaning a shchemira, but did not indicate if he died from that illness. Rabbi said, "Hari meis v'hari kivro mochio chalav." He has died and his grave proves it, so we assume he died from that illness and the gift is valid. Abai objected that when a ship sinks, we suspect its passengers may have survived. Here, Sherov Cholin L'chaim, that most ill people recover and live, we should certainly suspect that he didn't die from this illness, but later, and the gift should be void. Rava's opinion follows Rabbi Nassan's. A braisa discusses a gift where the giver and recipients dispute if he was a shchemira or a bari when he gave it, and whether he can now retract. Rabbi Yaakov says the benefactor can take back the property without proving it was a shchemira, but the recipients must prove he was a bari to take the property. He follows the chazaka of the property which was originally the giver's. Rabbi Nassan says that if he is currently a bari, he must prove he was a shchemira then. If he is currently a shchemira, then he must prove he was a bari. Rabbi Nassan follows the current status. And point number three, Belezer says, "Well, tumah k'machlokas." And regarding tumah, the same machlokas applies. A mission says about a bika, a valley of grain fields, b'yamos ha'chomer, during the summer, if it's enclosed, it's a rishus ha'yachid regarding laws of Shabbos, but it is a rishus ha'rabim regarding questions of tumah, and cases of doubtful tumah are ruled tameh. Since people enter the field during the harvest season, it's not secluded. However, b'mos ha'gashamim, during the rainy season, when produce is growing and people do not enter the field, it's a rishus ha'yachid for tumah as well. Thus, if someone entered a valley containing tumah and does not know if he became tameh, but also doesn't know when he entered the valley, Rabbi Yaakov would follow the person's former chazaka of being tahor. Rabbi Nassim would say that it depends when he asks the question. If he asks during the summer, we assume he entered during the summer. If he asks during the rainy season, we assume he entered during that season. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, there was a shtar written by a shchemira which stated, "B'chaim u'b'maves, I give you this gift in life and in death." Rav said it's considered a matna shchemira because since he wrote b'maves, he's saying it should take effect after his death. The mention of b'chaim in the shtar was merely a simon ba'amud achay, an omen that he should live, meaning since he mentioned his impending death, he added a hopeful mention of living. Shmuel says it's considered a matnas bari because since he wrote b'chaim, m'chaim tamar, he's saying it should take effect during his lifetime. The mention of b'maves was k'manda amr ma'atavi adulam, like one saying the gift should be yours from now and forever, meaning even after he dies. Those of Naradov rule like Rav. Rav has said that if the shtar states m'chaim from life and in death, it acquires like an ordinary gift, but a Maimar says the halacha does not follow Rava. Although we pass like Rav, one could have thought Rav agrees with the term m'chaim takes effect from his lifetime. A Maimar teaches otherwise. Point number two, a gift document stated that he gave it when he was sick and lying in bed, meaning a shchemira, but did not indicate if he died from that illness. Rabbi said, "Hari meis v'hari kivro mochio chalav." He has died and his grave proves it, so we assume he died from that illness and the gift is valid. Abai objected that when a ship sinks, we suspect its passengers may have survived. Here, Sherov Cholin L'chaim, that most ill people recover and live, we should certainly suspect that he didn't die from this illness, but later, and the gift should be void. Rava's opinion follows Rabbi Nassan's. A braisa discusses a gift where the giver and recipients dispute if he was a shchemira or a bari when he gave it, and whether he can now retract. Rabbi Yaakov says the benefactor can take back the property without proving it was a shchemira, but the recipients must prove he was a bari to take the property. He follows the chazaka of the property which was originally the giver's. Rabbi Nassan says that if he is currently a bari, he must prove he was a shchemira then. If he is currently a shchemira, then he must prove he was a bari. Rabbi Nassan follows the current status. And point number three, Belezer says, well, tumah k'machlokas. And regarding tumah, the same machlokas applies. A mission says about a bika, a valley of grain fields, but yamos ha'chomer during the summer, if it's enclosed, it's a reshusa yachid regarding laws of Shabbos, but it is a reshusa rabim regarding questions of tumah, and cases of doubtful tumah are ruled tameh. Since people enter the field during the harvest season, it's not secluded. However, b'mosa geshamim during the rainy season, when produce is growing and people do not enter the field, it's a reshusa yachid for tumah as well. Thus, if someone entered a valley containing tumah and does not know if he became tameh, but also doesn't know when he entered the valley, Rabbi Yaakov would follow the person's former chazaka of being tahor. Rabbi Nassim would say that it depends when he asks the question. If he asks during the summer, we assume he entered during the summer. If he asks during the rainy season, we assume he entered during that season. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Nun Gimel, and our standard siman is a king. A king, so here goes. The king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar, which included the words, B'chaim u'b'maves, was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, that he had his guards take the man down to an enclosed valley that was a reshusa rabim regarding tumah in the summer and a reshusa yachid in the rainy season. So once again, it's a motion. The king, that must be learned of Kof Nun Gimel. The king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar, which included the words B'chaim u'b'maves, which reminds us there was a shtar written by a shchimera, which stated B'chaim u'b'maves, I give you this gift in life and in death. Rav said it's considered a matna shchimera because since he wrote b'maves, he's saying it should take effect after his death. The mention of B'chaim in the shtar was merely a simon ba'alma d'chaya, an omen that he should live, meaning since he mentioned his impending death, he added a hopeful mention of living. Shmuel says it's considered a matnas bari because since he wrote b'chaim, he's saying it should take effect during his lifetime. The mention of b'maves was like one saying the gift should be yours from now and forever, meaning even after he dies. So the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar, which included the words b'chaim u'b'maves, was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, which reminds us, a braisa discusses a gift where the giver and recipients dispute if he was a shchimira or a bari when he gave it, and whether he can now retract. Rabbi Yaakov says the benefactor can take back the property without proving he was a shchimira, but the recipients must prove he was a bari to take the property. He follows the chazaka of the property, which was originally the giver's. Rabbi Nassim says that if he's currently a bari, he must prove he was a shchimira then. If he's currently a shchimira, they must prove he was a bari. Rabbi Nassim follows the current status. So, the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar, which included the words B'chaim u'b'maves, was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, that he had his guards take the man down to an enclosed valley that was a reshusa rabim regarding tumah in the summer and a reshusa yachid in the rainy season, which reminds us, a Mishnah says about a bika, a valley of grain fields, that during the summer, if it's enclosed, it's a reshusa yachid regarding laws of Shabbos, but it's a reshusa rabim regarding questions of tumah, and cases of doubtful tumah are ruled tameh. Since people enter the field during the harvest season, it's not secluded. However, during the rainy season, when produce is growing and people do not enter the field, it's a reshusa yachid for tumah as well. So once again, the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar, which included the words B'chaim u'b'maves, was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, that he had his guards take the man down to an enclosed valley that was a reshusa rabim regarding tumah in the summer and a reshusa yachid in the rainy season. All right, so now it's time for four Balabach Hazara, Daf Kuf Mem Tes. So the simmer Daf Kuf Mem Tes is a comet. So here goes. And the shchimira who didn't notice the comet, that must be on Daf Kuf Mem Tes. The shchimira who didn't notice the comet whizzing by above his head sold all his possessions but held on to the money since he hoped to recover and retract, which reminds us, if a shchimira gives away all his possessions and recovers, his gift is void. The Gemara asks, Marcha Kol Nechas of Mahu, if he sold all his possessions and later recovered, what's the halacha? Can he retract from the sales because we assume he sold all his belongings because of his anticipated death, or is the sale different? The Gemara explains, where the money paid for the sale is still here in the shchimira's possession, it indicates he hoped to retract the sales and return the money if he would recover. Where he paid his debts with the money indicates he had no intention of retracting, therefore he cannot retract if he recovers. So the shchimira who didn't notice the comet whizzing by above his head sold all his possessions but held on to the money since he hoped to recover and retract, and admitted that the 12,000 zuz that he had deposited by the rabbi really belonged to his son, who was conceived before he converted, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Shchimira Shahoda Mahu, if a Shchimira admits that something in his possession belongs to someone else, what is the halacha? Do we accept his admission, or do we suspect he's attempting to falsely give the impression that he's not wealthy? A proof is brought from the incident of Issa Giora, who had 12,000 zuz deposited with Rava. So the Shechemirah, who didn't notice the comet whizzing by above his head, sold all his possessions but held on to the money, since he hoped to recover, and retract, and admitted that 12,000 zuz that he had deposited by the rabbi really belonged to his son, who was conceived before he converted, forgot that he retained karkal kolshu, enough land to support himself, from the produce, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Mem Amud Beis taught that if a Shechemirah gave away his property, retained karkal kolshu, land of even minimal size, he could not retract if he recovers, because it was presumably not given because of his anticipated death. Amoraim defined karkal kolshu. Rav says, karkal kadei parnasaso, enough land to support him from its produce. Daf Kuf Nun. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun is a con man. So here goes. The con artist, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun. The con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a kosher was enough for Reishis a gaze, which reminds us, Gemara brings a mission where Rabbi Dosman Horkina said, Chamesh Rachel's Gozozos Manu Manu Upras, five sheep of which each is shorn a man and a half of fleece, are obligated in the law of Reishis a gaze, which is given to a Kohen. But the Chachamim say, Chamesh Rachel's Gozozos Koshehen, five sheep which are shorn even a minimal amount. Rav defined that koshen means man upras, a total of a man and a half, provided that there are at least fifths, meaning each produced at least a fifth of a mana and a half. The Gemara tends to show that this proves that a koshu has a minimum requirement, but answers that koshu should not have been used in this context. So the con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a koshu was enough for Reishis a gaze, conned his Eved out of his freedom by leading over karkal koshu in the shtar that gifted to him all of his possessions, which reminds us, Gemara discusses what is included in the gift of all of one's metaltling. It asks if a slave is considered like karka in this respect, since it has the lacha of karka for numerous laws, such as a kinyan, or if they're referred to as metaltling, since they are physically movable. Ravina quoted a mission which teaches that if one writes all his possessions over to a slave, his slave goes free since he is one of those possessions. She or karkal kolshu, if he retained land of even minimal size, meaning he said he's retaining some land, well, yatsa ben chorin, he does not go free because the retained land may refer to the slave himself. So the con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a koshu is enough for Reishis a gaze, conned his Eved out of his freedom by leaving over a karkal koshu in the shtar that gifted to him all of his possessions, and was out-conned by his new wife, who wrote away all her property to a friend. Which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Chamisha ad sheyichtivu kol nichseim. There are five people where the laws of their gifts only apply if they raid over all their possessions, the fifth case being a mavrachas, one who chases away, referring to an almana, who does not want her new husband to acquire rights in her property. Before remarrying, she gives her property away to someone whom she trusts to return it if the marriage ends. This insincere gift is ruled void, but tzricha shetichtov kol nechseh, she must write away all her property to demonstrate her intent. Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun Aleph is a kanai, a zealot, or a zealot with a spear. So here goes. When the Shechemirah mother who wrote all of her possessions to one son and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother, that must mean Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, kanai, zealot. When the Shechemirah mother who wrote all her possessions to one son and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama's mother, who was a Shechemirah, wrote all of her possessions to him in the evening. But in the morning, she changed her mind and wrote them to her son, Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama came before Rav Sheshes, who established him as the owner of the property, but Rav Ukva Bar Chama came before Rav Nachman, who established him as the rightful owner. Rav Sheshes protested to Rav Nachman that since the mother died and didn't recover, her retraction should be ineffective. Rav Nachman responded that Shmuel said, Koshi yu amud chozer, anyone who, if he recovers, can retract, chozer b'matnaso, can retract from his gift, even if he does not recover, and that Shmuel explicitly said that a Shechemirah can retract ben la'atzmo, ben la'acherim, whether it's for himself or for someone else. So when the Shechemirah mother, who wrote all of her possessions to one son, and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, and did so without his making a kinyan, since Divrei Shechemirah k'ksuvim k'masurim damu, which reminds us, Rav Nachman taught, Divrei Shechemirah k'ksuvim k'masurim damu, the words of a Shechemirah are considered like they are written, and handed over to the recipient, even without making a kinyan. So when the Shechemirah mother, who wrote all of her possessions to one son, and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, and did so without his making a kinyan, since Divrei Shechemirah k'ksuvim k'masurim damu, the first son became zealous and insisted his sister, who repeatedly retracted on giving a gift, leave some property to herself, which still didn't work, because one can still retract in the case of mitzava, machmas misa, which reminds us, Rav Dimi's sister, who was ill, gifted her orchard to Rav Dimi. Since she had retracted several times before, Rav Dimi designed the gift in a way she could not retract by having her retain a portion and by making a kinyan. Still, Rav Nachman required him to return it because Adim heard her bemoaning her impending death. Clearly, she was instructing to give away her property because she thought she would die. Umitzava machmas misa choser. And anyone who explicitly instructs because of an impending death can retract. Daf Kuf Nun Beis. So the Siman Daf Kuf Nun Beis is a bank or a banker. So here goes. The two bankers. Bankers? That must be on Daf Kuf Nun Beis. The two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchimera with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shchimera was to give it both the power of a Matna Shchimera and also a regular gift, which reminds us the Gemara discusses a Matna Shchimera, Shekasuba Kinyan, the gift of a Shchimera with a kinyan written into it, where they performed a kinyan suda on the gift when it was not required. Rav says he has made it ride on two steeds, but Shmuel says, I don't know how to judge such a gift. Rav holds that the Shchimera's purpose in making a kinyan for his gift was to give it both the power of a matna Shchimera and of an ordinary gift. It's like an ordinary gift in that he cannot retract upon recovering, and it's like a matna Shchimera that it has the ability to transfer alone. So the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchimera with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shchimera was to give it both the power of Matna Shchimera and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, which reminds us, if a Shchimera said, Kisvu utnu mana l'poni, write a shtar and give a mana to poni and died, Rav ruled that we do not write it and give it because perhaps he only intended to give it with the shtar, which is not effective after his death. Shmuel ruled that the gift should be written and given because in this case, it was miyafes kocho. He was enhancing the recipient's power with the kinyan by explicitly saying so. So the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchimera with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shchimera was to give it both the power of a Matna Shchimera and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, were frustrated when they found out that the Shchimera had written and given the same gift to two people, which reminds us, Gemara brings another machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. If a Shchimera wrote away his property to someone and gave him the shtar recording the gift, and then did the same for someone else, Rav says the first recipient acquires it, and Shmuel says the second recipient acquires it. Rav's ruling reflects his opinion that making a kinyan for the gift is meant to give it the power of a matnas bari. He holds giving over the shtar has the same effect, so he can no longer retract. Shmuel's ruling reflects his opinion that this remains a standard matna Shchimera, and he can retract from it. All right, so now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do you want a Shchimera cannot transfer something that a Bari cannot transfer? For example, to live in this house, that's on daf Kuf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 2, which daf do we have machlokes regarding who must prove if the benefactor was a Shchimera or a Bari, that's on daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 3, which daf do we machlokes in a case where if the Shchimera wrote away his property to someone and gave him the shtar recording the gift, and then he did the same for someone else, that's on daf Kuf Nun Beis. Good. Number 4, which something when the Shchimera who said, give my loan, which is owed to me, to Ploni, his loan is transferred to Ploni, that's on daf Kuf Mem Ches. Good. Number 5, which daf do we learn if one gave a shtar chov to someone as a matnas Shchimera, his heirs cannot be mocho, that's on daf Kuf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 6, which daf do you learn a mitzvah machmas misa can also retract from his gift and does not require a kinyan? That's on daf Kuf Nun Aleph. Good. Number 7, which daf to discuss what the din is with a shtar in which it was written b'chaim u'b'maves, in life and in death? That's on daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 8, which daf to the case of miyafes kocho, where the Shchimera was enhancing the recipient's power with a kinyan by explicitly saying so? That's on daf Kuf Nun Beis. Good. Number 9, which daf to the case of a suffolk tomb in a field that is a rishus of rabim in the harvest season and a rishus of yachid in the rainy season? That's on daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 10, which daf to learn there are 5 people where the laws of their gifts only apply if they're right over all their possessions, such as a mavrachas? That's on daf Kuf Nun. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.